This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Because of Mr. Jeremy M. Fu and his opinion article on how hawker culture belongs to Singapore because they have more money, we thought we'd have a bit of a debate about that. And, you know, what is something Malaysian that we could, I don't know, market to the world and make uniquely ours and put our stamp on it, just as they've tried to put the stamp on hawker culture. So we thought we'd ask you guys to feedback. We had a bunch of feedback.
A lot.
Let's go over to WhatsApp first.
This comes from Calf, who says, if we talk about city life, we often say Singapore or Thailand is the Asian spot for retail shopping. Why could this be Malaysia is not on the map for favorable destinations? If we could control the attractiveness of retail and of course the price, I do not see why we cannot achieve the shopping destination of Asia, which is true because we have so many shopping malls.
We have so many shopping malls, but one thing that Singapore does very well for their shopping malls is that they have covered walkways between the malls.
True, and the MRT stations.
Yeah.
He also adds that logistics tariff is one of the cheapest in Asia, so why can't we bring the prices to a competitive range?
Good point.
I'm also going to pick a few more. There's one that comes from numbers 7233, who says that the arowana, the finest dragonfish species from Bukit Merah exported across the globe, we can market that. There is one from Patrick Ong, who says Malaysia has the first world hotel, which is already proclaimed as Guinness as the world's largest hotel in Genting Highlands for quite some time now. There was also one, give me a second, I want to pull up one that was about caves. Yeah, so this comes from Zarif, who says, little do people know that we have some of the most ancient caves in the world. In Pahang, for example, the caves itself holds natural wonders, ancient drawings and natural rock formations resembling animals. A test was done on a rock formation resembling a big tree log, and guess what? It does contain actual tree fragments.
Didn't they also find some of the oldest cave paintings in the world recently over in Borneo? Wasn't that something that was happened fairly recently, the last 2 weeks or so?
Yeah, was this the one with the paintings by actual like cave people?
Correct,
Neanderthals and stuff.
That was recent, wasn't it?
Also, what about things like our Petaling Street?
Yep.
Like brick fields, you know, our Chinatown, our Little India. It's so much more vibrant, I think, in my opinion, than the ones in Singapore. No, but we don't really market your brick fields or your Chinatown or Petaling Street as well as we could. And we don't actually take care of it well as well.
Yeah, but have you seen the size of brick fields compared to Little India? That the one in Singapore is an actual Little India. It's surprising how they fit such a huge Little India on an island that's that small. So brick fields is
it's a medium India.
It's a speck.
But I was game first. Okay. Also. Also, something like, I know this is a sticky point, but Grab.
Sticky point, but very true.
It is essentially a Malaysian company, you know, and it was rumored to, the Malaysian government was rumored to have been thinking about, you know, investing in Grab. And
The
former Malaysian government. And, you know, Singapore snapped it up. And now everyone recognizes Grab's headquarters being in Singapore. Mm-hmm. And they've kind of taken that from us, too.
Shangri-La Hotels as well. Robert Kwok, of course, started the Shangri-La Hotel, owns the Shangri-La Hotels. He's moved his headquarters to where? Hong Kong. So there's another one. Right, what were you going to... Something about NAS and NAS Daily.
Okay,
mention that.
Yeah, so NAS Daily is this one-minute YouTube vlogger.
Irritation, as some people might call him.
And he does a video every day, and it's only a minute long. And he has done multiple videos on Singapore. And many people have actually questioned whether his videos have been sponsored by the Singaporean government. He claims they are 100% not sponsored by the Singapore government. But one of his most recent videos was about how Singapore is an almost perfect country. Because, you know,
that's got to be sponsored.
He admits that they have issues with racism, traffic and pollution, but they are trying to work at ways to solve those problems. You know, they have really great waste management solutions. But this is one thing about the video that, you know, just got to me. And just it kind of sums up how I feel about how well Singapore promotes itself. Part of the video shows Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong talking to NAS from Gardens by the Bay. And when I watched the video, I was like, huh, there you go. You see, you got the shot of the Prime Minister on this video. But why is he talking to NAS at Gardens by the Bay? Why isn't he talking to NAS from the middle of Tampines or Bedok or something like that, right? Because that is where they do things well.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Okay.
Can I say something about the NAS Daily thing? He's not wrong. It is an almost perfect city. Mm. That's the thing that...
You said city and not country, though.
Country, yeah. It's almost a perfect country. It's the same thing. in Singapore. But yeah, but it works like clockwork. They have excellent public transport. Their cleanliness is, everyone knows about their cleanliness. There's almost, the crime rates are so low, shockingly low for a country that's in Southeast Asia. If you're comfortable with the country itself, then it is an almost perfectly working city. It's one of the cities that a city planner would want to have on their resume.
You know, the first time I ever went to Singapore, the one thing that stuck out for me was just how ridiculously clean it was.
Yeah.
You know, and I will never forget that. It's spotlessly clean.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was something incredible for, a country in Southeast Asia.
Do you see them marketing that, though?
No.
Singapore is the cleanest country.
But they do. I mean, they do in the way that they don't need to. You walk away from it and you're like, holy crow, it's clean there.
It just is.
Yeah. It's like walking into a dentist's. Anyway, next story is about how to organize, just a bit of fun, how to organize your mobile apps. We've got a few minutes left.
Yeah, because some people need help. So we know how apps are designed to improve our lives and make us more efficient, but sometimes trying to find them in the mishmash of all those colorful icons can be really time-consuming. Now, if you spend more than a minute hunting for a particular app on your phone, you might be an app hoarder, or B, you may just want to consider organizing your apps for easy access. So here are 7 creative ways that you can organize your mobile apps. Number one, verb-based folders. So for some people, default categories that you have, like sometimes on your iPhone, like productivity, reference, and utilities, they're too vague. So instead, maybe take a second to think about what you use your phone for. Do you watch videos on YouTube? Do you listen to music? Do you read the news? So labeling the folders with verbs such as watch, play, and learn may help you jump to the app that you need much faster.
I did that.
Oh, you did that. Okay, mm-hmm. Good. Okay, let's see how many you've done in these 7. Okay?
Go on then. Tick number one.
Number two, color coding.
I've tried that. Just for fun. It's awful. It's completely unproductive and you end up swiping all over the place. Don't do it.
Also, the end result may be a smartphone with a rainbow color scheme, right? You know. Yeah. But you know, here's the thing. What color is the icon for WhatsApp?
Green.
What color is the icon for Facebook?
Blue.
What color is the icon for Netflix?
Red and black.
How do you know? You don't have it on your mobile
phone. Boom!
I have it for emergencies when I'm out of the city.
Yeah.
So I need it on the phone.
So you know what color the icons are, and so it's easy for you to get to it. Huh. But then I don't know how your home screen is going to look if everything is like color coordinated. Okay. Number 3 is in alphabetical order. I don't know why anyone would want to do this, but some people find comfort in an A to Z world, so this method may be for you. Number 4, how you hold your phone. Now, I think this is kind of practical because obviously, if you hold your phone with your right hand, then maybe you want to place the apps that you most frequently use on the right of your home screen. So that might be something to consider. That's number 4. Number 5, themed rows. Now, I know a lot of people do this. It's basically where you assign a specific genre or theme to each row. Like, say, if you start the day with your day planning apps, like your alarm or your calendar, your to-do list. So that is at the top list. And then towards the bottom, it's the ones that you don't use as often. So you can actually, you know, like, okay, if it's something to do with starting the day, it's going to be at the top of my home screen, right? And then number 6, I think. Oh, no, that was number 6 is frequency of usage. So put the apps that you use more often on the home screen. And then, you know, maybe on the second one, you can put the ones that you don't use as often. And all the way in the back is the ones that you don't want to use all the time, like your Instagram. Maybe.
I have a different one at the end of my...
And all your games.
No, all my food apps are at the end. Otherwise, so I have to scroll all the way through before I see my Food Panda, before I see my Grab Food. Otherwise, if that's on my home screen, I'm going to that all the time. Click, done.
There you go.
See?
And finally, the last one is emoji folders. And I find this the most impractical. So instead of, labeling your folders with words like utilities or productivity, you can label them with emojis just to... I don't know, have a little fun?
No, that just seems odd.
Yeah, so the possibilities are endless here, but just don't. Just don't.
There's a message from Saji who says that arranging apps is like going to Singapore.
Oh! Why is that? That's mean.
Because it's so clean.
But, you know, Arv, do you organize the apps on your phone?
No, 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 not at all.
Not at all? So
not
they're all over the place?
They're all over the place. The bloatware, the stuff that came with the phone, the stuff that I download, they're on any page.
Yeah.
I only have like one static bar below it. So it has like Instagram, Twitter, I think. Instagram, Twitter, and my messaging, and that's it.
Hmm.
Right. We're going to have to take a very short break. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We've got our final final bunch of messages to get through before we wrap up for the show. And of course, we've got one last story for the day, what YouTube's anti-fake news features mean for Malaysian users.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go anywhere. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. Up next, it's Cooler Shaker with SOS. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.